Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand you have South African reaction to the FIFA corruption scandal.
Kim, South Africa's sports minister, is insisting his country did not pay a bribe to FIFA officials to secure the 2010 World Cup. The minister also praised FIFA president Sepp Blatter, who is stepping down amid a growing corruption scandal. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
Sepp Blatter's announcement Tuesday that he will resign coincided with word from U.S. law enforcement officials that he is a focus of a federal corruption investigation. Last week, the U.S. Justice Department indicted and arrested 14 FIFA officials and executives, accusing them of taking more than $150 million in bribes. Speaking Wednesday in Johannesburg, South African Sports Minister Fikile Mbalula praised Blatter, who has long enjoyed support from African football officials.
Sepp Blatter, it was not the plan, but it is set to part ways in this way. And I think he will forever be remembered for the role that he played in assisting us to bring the World Cup, the first one ever, to the African continent.
But Mbalula continued to categorically deny allegations in the U.S. indictment that South Africa paid a bribe to secure the lucrative tournament. He said the $10 million payment was instead a legitimate sum meant to help assist football programs in developing nations.
We are prepared to explain to anyone, including the FBI, why we will tell them that this thing was not a bribe. They can wake us up anytime. We are ready. I will be going to see Floyd Mayweather. They can find me on my way to America very soon. So I'm ready to explain to them how this money was done and why it was done in the manner in which it was done. We are ready to explain that to them and to dissuade them to believe in that it is a bribe.
South African Department of Sports and Recreation's Director General Alec Moemi said the nation's relations with FIFA will not fundamentally change for better or worse now that Blatter is gone.
On our part, the relationship remains the same. We will deal with FIFA the same way we have dealt with it, and the minister is correct. The fact that this matter has come up doesn't mean that our other engagements on other things, including the insistence of the South African government that we get to the bottom of the issue of alleged match fixing, that we also look into that. So the relationship will fairly remain the same.
Swiss authorities are investigating whether bribery was a factor in decisions to award the 2018 World Cup to Russia and the 2022 tournament to Qatar. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners with internet access to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
I posted a simple question at my Facebook page. What's your reaction to Sepp Blatter's resignation? Let's sample some of the comments. Chris Onoyima, no address given, says, he was easily the Mugabe of FIFA, comparing Blatter to Zimbabwe's longtime president, Robert Mugabe. Chris continues, Blatter's closest colleague and partner in the power elongation enterprise is or was the absolute monarch of CAF, Issa Hayatou. Sonny, these two men play on the intelligence of the people they serve. Well, if you're keeping score, Sunny Side of Sports fans, Issa Hayatou took control of CAF in 1988, 10 years before Blatter took control of FIFA. Bako Benjamin, writing from Lagos, Nigeria, has a different view of Blatter. Bako writes, he's leaving his indelible footprints on the sands of African football. He's honorable. He's a great man. My former VOA colleague, Jane Kelly, writing from Charlottesville, Virginia, says, Blatter should have resigned before last Friday's election. Marcelina Salifu, writing from Obuasi, Ghana, has kind of a measured response. Marcelina writes, I think he brought considerable development in world football, particularly fighting racism. But development shouldn't be accompanied by corruption. Marcellinus adds, a saying goes in my local parlance, man came to do some, but not all. Darlington Nduka, writing from Owerri, Imo State, Nigeria, says, I have been waiting for this type of news for a long time. Blatter wanted to turn the FIFA presidency into a personal property. Longtime Sunnyside Esports friend Tony Agbuntayan, who recently celebrated a birthday in Benin, Nigeria, writes, it's a welcome development, Sonny. Until the investigation of corrupt practices is complete, uneasy lies the head that wears the cap. Finally, Desmond Kwai, writing from Monrovia, Liberia, extends an olive branch to the 79-year-old Sepp Blatter, saying, it's because of his age, not corruption. Well done, Mr. President. Meanwhile, some Africans say the surprise resignation of FIFA President Sepp Blatter should strengthen the growing demand for term limits, whether in politics or in sports. Franklin Byern is the editor of This Is Sports newspaper in Cameroon. In a phone interview with my VOA colleague James Buddy, Franklin said if Blatter can fall from grace, the likes of Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe and Paul Biya of Cameroon and other long-serving African leaders should take note.
He's doing this under pressure. If you know that last year the British press reported scandals surrounding the award of a bidding of the hosting rights to Qatar for 2022 and FIFA tried to wait it off, if you know that ahead of only days before the election last week, FIFA was under heavy censure and that he tried to survive that. For him to have resigned after that election, it means he's under heavy pressure. He's under a lot of self-introspection. He knows his honor is at stake. So this is no charity action. It's a serious thing on the person of Sepp Blatter. It's a serious question mark on FIFA.
What happens now? Because it was under Sepp Blatter's watch that World Cup in Qatar was awarded. And there are speculations that perhaps there was some corruption that took place. So what do you think? Do you think Qatar should still host?
Beginning with South Africa, Danny Jordan has come out to say that he noticed that that amount of money, $10 million, was deducted from South Africa's account with FIFA, but that it wasn't paid for as corruption money. Whatever the case, if he admits that that amount of money was deducted, it's not some kind of tacit recognition that there was some form of corruption, even though he wouldn't say so. So if there was corruption over South Africa, which we would prefer to say we want to overlook it because we are happy that the World Cup came to Africa, there was surely corruption with Qatar. I think that the Arab world was happy about that too. But then what the world is happy about, what people are happy about, are not the same thing as what is right. In any case, there will be serious questions over the winning of the World Cup rights by Qatar under Sepp Blatter.
Franklin, all over Africa, we hear people talk now these days about presidential term limit in Burundi. There are weeks of protest against President Pierre Nkurunziza. What lessons do you think the Sepp Blatter resignation can be drawn about what is happening in Africa in general?
Called diminishing returns. You can't be at your best all the time. There's a point when you can't do too well, even though you want to stay long. So I think that for someone who's been in office for over four terms at FIFA, this fall should be a lesson for leaders in Africa, that even when you seem to be very powerful, because Sepp Blatter was a very powerful man, if Sepp Blatter can fall, I don't think that Pierre Nkurunziza will not fall, let alone Paul Biya or Joseph Kabila or whoever else around Africa.
While we have Sepp Blatter for FIFA, we have Ayatou for the Confederation of African Football. He has also been in power for so long. Is there a lesson for him?
You know that at the last assembly of the Confederation of African Football, having reached the threshold age when he couldn't run for another term in office, he found a way of removing that age limit so that he could go on and on and on as a leader of African football. I think that's a shameful thing for anybody to do. He's been there since 1988. He was there 10 years before Sepp Blatter became president of FIFA, so I think he's been there for too long. He's a Cameroonian. We love him. We are proud to have our brother at the head of African football and at that high level of FIFA, but I think he's been there for too long.
That's Franklin Byern, the editor of This Is Sports newspaper in Cameroon. And Franklin was talking from Cameroon with my VOA colleague, James Buddy. Now let's go to New Zealand for another update on the FIFA Under-20 World Cup football tournament. Group C and D were in action Wednesday. Senegal recovered well from their opening 3-0 loss to Portugal with a 1-1 draw against a talented Colombian team. Mamadou Thiam opened the scoring for Senegal in the 23rd minute by slotting a left-footed shot home after a brilliant piece of skill to evade the Colombian defense. Alexis Zapata would tie the game for Colombia 20 minutes later with a cheeky penalty shot that sent Senegalese keeper Ibu Si the wrong way. Neither side would score in the second half as both teams earned 1 point, the first point of the tournament for Senegal. In the other Group C clash, Portugal booked a ticket to the quarterfinals with a 4-0 drubbing of 2022 World Cup host Qatar. Ivo scored 2 goals for the Portuguese boys, including an impressive bicycle kick. Gotta love those bicycle kicks, as the two-time champions earned 3 points to bring their tournament tally to 6. Qatar has yet to record a point in New Zealand and will play Senegal in their final group stage match on Saturday. Now, Senegal will need a big win against the Qataris and will have to hope that Portugal can defeat Colombia by a similarly large margin if they want to advance. Moving on to Group D, Mali was not able to keep their momentum going against Serbia after pulling off a big upset of Mexico in the opener. The Serbians found the net in the 27th and 74th minutes to win the game 2-0. Meanwhile, the two heavyweights of Group D, Mexico and Uruguay, played a scoreless game for 74 minutes before Mexico took the lead on a lightning-quick counterattack. Uruguay tied it up just 10 minutes later when 2 minutes into extra time, Kevin Gutierrez sent a free kick off the bottom of the crossbar to give Mexico a big 2-1 win. Group D is now wide open going into the last round of group stage matches, as all four teams are even at 3 points. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports. Back to Yehias Wuhib and Kim.